You know something, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to ignore this young lady to my left getting on my damn nerves, okay? I'm going to ignore her. I'm looking at Swaggoon smiling. I'm a little bit concerned about him because his Dallas Cowboys didn't do a damn thing last night, okay? I'm concerned about him. But I really want to lock in my attention on that one RC, Ryan Clark, okay? I know that it's a pivot jacket on to the pivot. We all pivot into the pivot. You understand what I'm saying? But here's what the real story is, Swaggoo. That brother right there, that looked like a black and gold jacket. I think he's trying to play for the Steelers again. I think he's trying to play for the Steelers. I think that's what this is all about. He's trying to say that he want to be back in the NFL. RC, it's over, baby. For the time, catches us all. And we know that when it came to you,
LeBron,
because you joined the party with that damn golf swing, striking out on a golf course, okay? But we won't go there.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad.
Just went there.
First takes it out.
Okay, Swag. You on my side.
All right. My bad.
Good morning. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Huge congrats to all the draftees. I got my guy, Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears, Swaggoo, Stephen A. not dressed as an Easter bunny this morning. It's very special.
It doesn't matter. I still look good.
How are we
still
doing?
Look good.
Davey, you
they take
Davey
so many shots at each other.
I mean, Carolina Blue. I mean, Carolina Blue and all of that stuff. You all right?
She ain't
walking around here with sweatpants. Congratulations.
Okay. Let's keep it tight off the top. You know, focus on the draft.
By the way, you got your lunch bag? You got your lunch box?
Okay.
You got your lunch box?
Sorry.
Because you was already eating twice. You already eat twice.
Ryan, some of us actually eat protein.
You know what I'm saying?
Coming up. The Falcons went all in on quarterbacks this offseason, pulling off the biggest shocker of the NFL draft Thursday night, taking Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. with the number 8 pick. And that stunned feeling extended to their newly acquired veteran quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who they signed this offseason to a 4-year, $180 million deal. Cousins' agent, Mike McCarthy, told our Pete Thamel that the Falcons only notified him that they would pick Penix while the team was on the clock. Quite the heads up. McCartney said there's frustration and confusion coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first round pick to make the team better in 2024. Here's Falcons GM Terry Fontenot on that pick.
Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. And Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
All right, Stephen A., Falcons making money moves. Let's dive into this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was a mistake that they drafted Michael Penix Jr.?
No. And I want to start off this show. First of all, I want to thank both of my brothers, Swaggoo and RC, doing an outstanding job touching on the NFL draft with all the work that y'all been doing from yesterday to this morning. Proud of y'all, as always, along with the rest of the team. Let me be very, very clear. I'm disgusted with this conversation already. We're going to start off the first take this morning with me being disgusted because I'm sitting there going like this. Oh, Kirk Cousins. Oh, my God. Kirk Cousins didn't get a call right up until, you know, they were on the clock. You got $100 million. Shut the hell up. His agent talking. What are we talking about here? Wait, he got a $180 million contract with $100 million guaranteed. Okay, fresh off an ACL injury. He ain't been in the lineup since he tore his ACL. Am I right, RC? Am I right, Swaggoo? Has he been in the lineup since tearing the ACL? So the Achilles, rather. So what I'm trying to say is this. We ain't seen you. We assume you gonna be all right. We heard you gonna be all right, but we don't know. Here's what we do know. You are absolutely exceptional and the quintessential role model when it comes to getting your bag for minimal production. That's what we know about Kirk Cousins. During the regular season, the brother puts up numbers. Obviously, he can play. He's no scrub. But when we look at the top five currently, when we talk about the top five quarterbacks in terms of their money, their bag, and their career, Kirk Cousins is right up there at around $294 million and got one playoff victory in his career. One! One! That's it! That's less than Dak Prescott got. And we are sitting here, I'm watching last night and this morning, everybody acting like we are a heartbeat away from calling Dr. Phil or Dear Abby about how he wasn't consulting before they made a pick. Stop it. This is ridiculous, okay? Now Penix Jr., he's had his slew of injuries. RC, I saw you on this morning on Get It. You point out, you had about four injuries now. Two ACL injuries, a couple of shoulder injuries. I understand he's not a short. But what did we say? We talk about his hands. We talk about his accuracy. We talk about his pocket presence. We talk about his ability to sense pressure. We talk about the fact that this brother can fling the football. And we did see him get Washington to the national championship game, okay, against Michigan. We saw those things. And so I'm looking at it from the standpoint, of course, you invest this money. You certainly want to have somebody that you know, you needed an edge rusher. You need a linebacker. You need a host of things if you're the Atlanta Falcons. But in the end, fellas, what I'm saying is this. You need a quarterback, and the quarterback that you had that you invested $100 million into is fresh off of ACL surgery. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm going like this. I understand it's risky. But if this brother can play the quarterback position and you're talking about the future, and I already got Bijan Robinson, and I already got Pitts, I already got these brothers, I'm looking at this like, what am I talking about here? Drake London as well? What are we talking about? You got some weapons. Let's make sure we ain't got to worry about the quarterback. I know it's risky, but it don't bother me. And what bothers me is this love affair with a dude by the name of Kirk Cousins that got one playoff victory in his career. Floor is yours.
I don't know if it's necessarily the love affair with Kirk Cousins. I believe it was the fact that Kirk Cousins is newly acquired on the four-year deal with $100 million that you mentioned. And shoot, me and Swag were at Sullivan's last night with the entire NFL Live crew. Chan and Fred were there too, and everybody was shocked. Like, everybody's face, like, you just couldn't believe it. You expected to see Le'Atu Latu come off of the board, or even you could see a guy come off of the board that gives you something defensively that you didn't have. Dallas Turner, SEC player
Dallas
of the
Turner,
year. And I was one of those people that was kind of in the uproar, and I thought to myself, let me just call Raheem. And anybody that's ever talked to Raheem knows that Raheem could sell water to a well. And it took about a minute and a half, and I was like, you know what? You're right. What if Kirk Cousins had been in Atlanta for 12 or 13 years and was nearing the age of 40, and you had an opportunity to pick in the top 10, and you saw a quarterback that you thought could be your future? You saw a quarterback that, when you look at all the other quarterbacks coming out of this draft, is the most talented passer, the most accurate passer. And you say to yourself, we don't need him to start in 2 years, or we don't need him to start this year, but in the future, he's our franchise guy. And he also said this. You made a great point, Stephen A. Kirk Cousins doesn't win in the playoffs, but Kirk Cousins has really good regular seasons. We believe this Atlanta team is talented. You tell me when you're going to have Kirk Cousins and pick in the top 10. You're not. If Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback of your team for 17 weeks, you're going to be a team that's going to pick 15 to the back half of the draft, of the first round. And guess what? You don't normally find franchise quarterbacks in those picks. You know who is not tripping about drafting a quarterback in the first round when they had a future Hall of Famer at quarterback? Matt LaFleur. Because the Green Bay Packers sure feel good with Jordan Love. And so whereas I would have loved for them to get a positional player that makes the team better this year, I do understand if you're Raheem Morris and you're thinking to yourself, this is not a plan for this year. This is a plan for my tenure as the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. It makes sense. Did I love it when it happened? Absolutely not. Can I understand why going forward in the future, this is something that you could wrap your arms around and say, we made a great decision? I do.
Yeah, to your point, RC, shocked is the right word, as opposed to thinking it was stupid after you give it some thought. It was stupid from this standpoint. Yeah. I will say, we've never seen a quarterback get $100 million guaranteed and then a quarterback get drafted top 10. So that was different for everybody. Nobody has ever seen that before. Yeah. We ain't ever seen it happen in the draft. So that part of it could have given all of us the impression that it was really a stupid move to make. But it wasn't. Stupid might not be the right word attached to it. It's just something we've never seen before. And to Stephen A's point about Kirk Cousins, listen, ain't nobody going to cry a river for Kirk Cousins. We all know he rich. Stephen A, but this could affect a culture if they don't handle it well. Mm. Like, Dan talked about Kirk asked for Michael Penix's number. He called him and congratulated him. And y'all know me, all that's great until Kirk Cousins have three bad games. And you're going to have a fan base saying, we took quarterback number 8 in the draft. And we had all of these things going into the season where it was Kirk Cousins' focus. Like, I know Atlanta fans were like, we got Kirk Cousins. We got a chance to win. Look at our division. We arguably got the best quarterback in the division. We got a lot of things going in our direction. This is the one thing that could potentially infiltrate, and it's all about how they handle it. Now, to RC's point with Raheem, one of the best orators ever. The dude can talk and say some of the greatest stuff to make you believe in anything. Him and Mike Tomlin treat. But he is going to have to make sure he keeps a close eye on how this situation is managed if Kirk Cousins doesn't perform well. And it could be a problem. But ultimately, on a night's sleep, it don't look as bad because you drafted your succession plan.
You drafted your succession plan, fellas. And let's talk about who we're talking about. We're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. You realize 5 of the last 6 years, they've won 7 games? They had a 4-12 season in between. I believe that year was 2020. Outside of that, since they lost in the divisional playoffs the year after they go to the Super Bowl in 2017, they've won 7 games in 5 of the last 6 years. 7-9 until it went to 17 games, and 7-10 over the last 3 years. Now you got Robinson. You've got Drake London. You've got Kyle Pitts. You go out and you get Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins don't really have excuses as it pertains to personnel because you got some folks that you could do some things with there. If you don't produce, okay, well, then Penix Jr. is there to raise some hell and to make things a bit uncomfortable for you. But my point to everybody is, and I'm talking about the folks that were sitting there, oh, my God, how could this happen? I mean, you know, because you got to remember, y'all, Penix was the news initially. And then after that, I have to sit up there and lose about 19 minutes of my life that I can't get back listening to this drivel all over the airwaves on radio and television with people talking about, well, Kirk Cousins' agent says, you know, he didn't know. And, oh, my God, he didn't know. And they didn't call him until they were on the clock. Yeah, they gave you $100 million. And you fresh off of Achilles surgery. Talking about? What are you talking about? $100 million. He's made $294 million minimum in his career. He got one playoff victory. One playoff victory. As far as I'm concerned,
but
and by
A.
the way, last point.
Stephen
Russell
A.
Wilson. Russell Wilson drafted third round, and I understand not first round, third round, but they had invested in Matt Flynn. And then Russell Wilson came up in there and they said, the hell with the investment. This is the quarterback in Seattle. And look what
that's
it did
for them. That's a different investment,
Stephen. I know that. It's a different investment. That's a third round as opposed to
sixth. Well, more
day.
On this a little later. Ask Michael Penix Jr. He's the first player to have back-to-back 4,500-yard seasons since who? Patrick Mahomes in 2015-2016. These two fine gentlemen will be right back, but it's also NBA playoffs, so that's where we
get next.
The Nuggets in cruise control. One win away from sending LeBron, AD, and the Lakers on summer vacation. Denver up 3-0 after beating L.A. 112-105 last night on the home floor. Charles Barkley had a message to some after the game.
I just want to say all you people who've been kissing up to the Lakers and the Warriors all year, Tom, but they going to make a run. You know where they going to run their ass to? The Bahamas. Saturday, Sunday morning. I told y'all all along.
Wasn't wrong.
That. Jay Williams in the building. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Mom. How are you?
I'm good. So tell me this. Are you surprised that the Lakers are on the verge of being swept by the Nuggets?
No. I think if anybody's been paying attention to the NBA basketball landscape, that's a bad matchup for the Lakers. Now, if this were the Lakers against OKC, the Lakers against Phoenix, I think we all would be having a very different conversation. But the reality is, you know, even if you were to say, if you were to tell me in this type of world that Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic were even to LeBron James and AD, I would still tell you that the Nuggets had a major advantage from Michael Porter Jr., KCP, and Aaron Gordon, who Aaron Gordon last night was an absolute beast. Yeah. I mean, 28 points, 15 rebounds, just the way he played, dominating. Like, they just dominated that physical matchup of the game. And then my biggest takeaway from last night, because I always felt like Denver was a better team, was just D'Lo to have 0 points.
Oh, Lord.
Zero man. Points. Stephen A., I'm watching the game last night, and I'm often thinking to myself that, first off, delusions are grander, right? Like, if we're in a battle, if you and I are debating somebody, even if we're down, we believe we can win.
We believe.
Ain't nobody going to tell us we're going to lose. No. We're going to keep fighting all the way to
absolutely,
the end.
Absolutely.
With 3:47 to watch him check out and not be involved in the huddle. Now, I don't know if he's on his cell phone. I don't know if
D-Lo?
He's eating snacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
D-Lo, the video's out there. I was watching the game last night.
Yeah.
I saw it
yeah.
on the NBA feed.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, like, this is a very – and people can sit up there and say, well, LeBron James, he ain't on his cell phone, and that's LeBron James. Rules are different for LeBron James than they are for D'Angelo Russell.
That's right.
But for him to have 0 points and then check out this way, this is one of the most selfish things I've ever seen. This is a slap in the face of LeBron James mm-hmm. and the Lakers organization. Mm-hmm. And to me, frankly, I was appalled even watching it because you need everybody to be pulling in the same direction. And that, to me, kind of epitomizes one of the bigger issues lying within the Lakers organization. Because if I were to see that in my huddle, I don't know if I want that back on my team next year.
Okay. Couple of I don't need the highlights right now. I need an ISO. Right here. I'm waiting. D'Angelo Russell. What a disgrace. An embarrassment. You know, I'll be at the game tomorrow night.
Mm.
You know, I'll show up there. It's hard to look at this brother. This brother showed up in a game as a starting point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. We're in the purple and gold. I mean, this is purple and gold. This is probably the most storied franchise in basketball annals. And did a donut. Me and you are sitting on this set. We did. He scored as many points as us.
Mm.
It's disgraceful. It's the same dude that averaged 6 points and 32% shooting and 13% shooting from three-point range last year in the Western Conference Finals. You're in the midst of losing 12 straight. You've lost 11 straight now. LeBron James has played in 10 of those losses, okay? They've lost 11 straight to the Denver Nuggets. It's going to be 12. Denver snatched their heart. And I feel bad for LeBron James and Anthony Davis because together – they're averaging 58.7 points on 59% shooting from the field this series. The rest of the Lakers, 43.7 points on 39% shooting. Austin Reeves, he showed us he had a post yesterday. He hadn't done much before yesterday. D'Angelo Russell showed up, didn't show up in game one, showed up in game two, but not when it counted after you had a 20-point lead and you mm-hmm. let that deteriorate. And then last night you embarrassed yourself in front of the Laker fans, purple and gold, at the Crypto.com arena. It's an absolute disgrace. And then this is the same dude that, you remember, they lost to Sacramento in the regular season, and he wasn't aware of what was at stake with the seedings and everything like that. You understand? You're vying for a play-in spot or what have you. You never know. You might have been able to avoid the Denver Nuggets had you paid attention, had you been on top of it. LeBron James doesn't deserve a teammate like that. That's somebody like that that's not that prioritized, that's not that focused, get rid of them. Get rid of them. It's a privilege to be in L.A. And I've said this to Jeannie Buss, not just on television. I've said it to her personally. I've said it to Rob Pelinka personally. I've said it to Darvin Ham personally, along with others. You know, some of them, not LeBron, not A.D., because A.D.'s been balling this series. Now, he might have won 17 straight minutes without a point in game two, and I get all that. But he's averaging over 30 for the series, okay? He's showing up. I told them to their face, I meant what I said on television. Certain people, you know, it's a privilege to be in L.A. That's Southern California sunshine, that weather. You got to take them out for a drive. Mm-hmm. And you got to ask them, you want to be here? You want, there are other places you can go that ain't here. That's what you got to do with some of these people. D'Angelo Russell's one of those people. You don't even take him for a drive anymore. You just ship him out because you know you can't rely on him when it really, really counts. That means when you're going up against some dogs, he's going to wilt beneath the pressure. He has shown us this, and it's a damn shame that he has. Having said all of that, here's the whole thing as well. It's had a contagious effect. The Lakers have had double-digit leads in each of these games. They've had halftime leads in each of these games. The Denver Nuggets are toying with them. Toying. Michael Porter Jr. does what he wants. Aaron Gordon, the same thing. Don't get me started with Jokic. We haven't even talked about Jokic. We haven't even talked about him. It is an annihilation. I don't care about what the final score is. They're toying with them. They're playing with them. And they just let around. You saw the Lakers get out to a fast start, Molly, Jay. And then you look, and Denver just said, okay. They had their nice moment. Let's just tinker away. Let's just be right here. Mm-hmm. Let's just stay with this striking distance. Lurking. And then when they want to pour it on, that's what they do. The Lakers can't get stops. They can't make three-point shots. I'm looking at the Lakers right now, and I'm saying to myself, what did you do here? This is just some embarrassing stuff right now. The Los Angeles Lakers last night, 5 of 27 from three-point range. 5 of 27. I mean, damn. This, you know what it was on the line. And I didn't expect them to win this series, but I thought it was going to go six.
Really?
I thought it would go six, Jay. Mm. I thought it would go six. I really did. I said, you know what? LeBron ain't getting swept twice. AD ain't getting swept twice. Nice. You know what I'm saying? I can't roll up the crypto with my broomsticks. I mean, come on. But this is what has happened. Everybody talking about Darvin Ham. This is the only time I didn't want to see Darvin Ham in that coaching box. When I saw that video of D'Angelo Russell, you know who I wanted? Jerry Sloan, the late Jerry Sloan, former coach of Utah. He'd have sent his ass to the locker room. He'd have had him removed. He'd have had D'Angelo Russell removed. Am I lying?
No.
He'd have had him removed. He'd have had, right in front of everybody, he'd have said, get out. He did it to Karl Malone?
Yep.
What'd you think he would have done to D'Angelo Russell? It was one of those moments where you needed to walk over to him and say, get the hell out. Go back to the locker room.
Well,
pack your stuff.
I'm not going to put it all on D'Lo.
I'm not putting it all on.
I'm just clarifying that for people.
Right.
Because they're going to see us lean into it. But if you got your ass kicked last year and you got dragged off the floor, if there's anybody that should be in the huddle trying to lead the huddle to show some animosity or some aggression towards the opponent, it needs to be him.
Yeah, especially since he's the one that let the team down last year.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point.
And not only are they on the verge of getting swept, and I'm praying that it don't happen, that they show some pride and win tomorrow. But they're going to get swept on their own home court again. Again. Now, let's look at the moments. You lose in the Western Conference Finals. After Anthony Davis opens training camp talking about how they ready for him because they were chirping at us when they beat us.
Last word here.
The ring ceremony, you lose. You lose the night Kobe Bryant's statue was unveiled. You lose the night LeBron James scores 40,000 points, right? And then last night, the great Michael Cooper, because if you know basketball and you know Michael Cooper, you know he was worthy of the Accolades Hall of Fame statue that he received last night when Worthy and those brothers were celebrating him at halftime. Michael Cooper. And you lose that one too. Every single moment that the Lakers have that's a cause for celebration gets ruined by the Denver Nuggets in their face. Constantly. And they're slapping them around. It's embarrassing. It really, really is.
Thank you for
the
strong slaps.
It's the truth.
I need to hear the slaps.
I don't mean to sound like a woman.
You should have your Dana White thing.
I don't don't have that. That's not a concept anybody wants to get into. That's a good thing though. They're making a lot of money. Dana White doing his thing. But I didn't mean to sound like that woman imitating Cat Williams or Saturday Night Live. It's the truth. But it is. That's what the Denver Nuggets are doing to him. Just slapping them around like y'all are nothing.
It's a new dynasty we're about to see. That's what the Denver Nuggets
You're
are.
You're probably right, but guess what? How much you want to make a bet, you ain't going to see folks getting swept.
Oh, I hear you on that.
There's a difference.
All right, we got to go. I think these super teams aren't going to be the trend anymore.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Ooh, current Cowboy Micah Parsons, a little frustrated. But I'd like to check in with former Cowboy, my friend, Marcus Spears, after seeing the Eagles draft another potential steal. Marcus, just a check-in on my boy. I want to see how you're feeling, how your spirit is today.
My spirit is fine. I know I would love to play into it, Molly Q, but the real issue is I had no expectations before the draft started. So I wasn't disappointed. I was in there. I was dropped my phone off my leg. I was in, like RC said, we were in Sullivan's. We were with Alicia. Is on the pivot with RC. She organized everything. She had no expectations. I'm in it. I cover it. I look at it all year long. And I had none, and the regular fans had none. So we end up today in the same exact place where we were yesterday. That's no man's land.
S.A.?
Well, I mean, listen, I think that, you know.
The Cowboys fans gave
when you,
up.
If you have an alcohol issue, you know, acknowledgement, admittance. I mean, you know, admitting it is the first step. And I think that, you know, Marcus Spears, as a former Cowboy and a Cowboy lover, obviously, the resignation on his face and in his voice is very, very touching, to say the least. And I will concede that. But we need to get into the particulars as to why. It's very touching. He didn't get into the specifics of why he feels that way, why he mirrors what Micah Parsons is feeling, okay? And I reached out to Micah Parsons. You know, I don't know if I'm going to catch him or not or whatever, but I'm quite sure after what he witnessed last night, he want to hide a little bit, RC, because he knows what we all know, that the Dallas Cowboys are going to fall yet again. I would prefer that they lie to us and tease America into thinking they're going to do something before they plummet, but they're just showing us in advance they really not, don't have much of a chance. This kid Mitchell, 4.33 in the 40, broke up. 52 passes, you know, in one game intercepted at 4 interceptions, 2 returned for a touchdown. I understand the brother played for Toledo, and that particular game was against Northern Illinois, but damn it, speed is speed. Ability is ability. Everybody can't be, you know, at one of the big-time universities. The brother can ball. Make no mistake about it. He's got the speed, the quickness, the strength, 6 feet, 195 pounds. He could do some things for you. And when you consider what the Philadelphia Eagles have available to them and the fact that they added Saquon Barkley to the mix, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those situations right now that we look at the NFC East and whether it's a former player, a former Cowboy, or a current Cowboy like Micah Parsons, notice how they're aligned with their thinking. They're like this, RC. Oh, damn. You know, because they know what we know. What can go wrong will go wrong. And it just so happened to be on draft night for everybody in the NFC East, much to the chagrin of the Dallas Cowboys, former.
Hey, Marcus, you're still better than my Giants, so we'll leave it at that.
We don't know that.
Well,
we don't know that.
We are that. No, we know that.
We don't know
we
that.
Know that.
We don't know that.
We do know that.
We need Daniel Jones to stay healthy, the line to protect him. Come on. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, though. The Dallas Cowboys have a quarterback at least for a year, and they aren't really doing anything, or they hadn't done anything. But to think that you're going to come into this draft and be drafted in the mid-20s and you're going to make this huge splash in the places that you need to fix things, that would be comical, right? That would be ridiculous. That's why Marcus wasn't shocked. That's why Swag ain't hurt, because everybody understood where the hell the Dallas Cowboys were before this draft started on Thursday. They actually did a good job with what they had. This team ain't picking in the top 10. They were going to pick in a place where they weren't going to get the necessarily the impact player we were looking for. They weren't going to get the running back right there. They weren't going to get the number one receiver they may have wanted right there. And they needed linemen. So you move back, you acquire some picks, and you do the smart draft thing. The problem is you've done the dumb offseason thing the entire offseason. So you put yourself in a position where you can't change it anyway. Stephen A., you talking about Swag conceding, right? And Cowboys fans conceding. The executives conceded. They shouldn't be all lively. They shouldn't be confused. They shouldn't be running around here like, ooh, look what we gonna do. This is what they set us up for. The Dallas Cowboys, who are normally very good at tricking us, right? They're like, we're going to trick you. You're going to think we're going to win a Super Bowl. And right when you think we're going to win a Super Bowl and you're flying on your magic rug, we're going to pull it from up under you and you're going to fall down, splat.
Pull it up.
And everything's going to go.
Yeah.
That's normally what happens. Not this time.
RC, Stephen A. mad that there is no hope being built. He's upset about that.
I'm a bit, because RC, he lives his life. I would say mad. I'd say perturbed. No, I'm a bit perturbed.
No.
I'm a bit perturbed.
Yeah, you have been perturbed because you live your life in that cycle of let them build everything up. And I've been warning our fans for the last 4 years now.
Right.
Don't believe Stephen A. when he says anything positive about the Dallas Cowboys.
But don't believe it.
But let me say this. Because it's not coming from a genuine place.
Let me say this, though. See, what Swagoo has done, R.C., is he has tried to employ a strategy, I must confess, it's been innovative. Nobody else who loves the Cowboys have tried this before. What Swagoo has done is tried to work in reverse.
What he's tried to do
is let the American people know, yo, he don't get your hopes up at all, because that's what Stephen A. is waiting for. So he thinks that strategy is going to work. What he doesn't understand, R.C., is that it's gonna get elevated anyway. They can't help themselves.
Anyway.
You can tell the Cowboy fans whatever you want. They ain't gonna listen. They didn't go out and get Derrick Henry when it was clear that is the move that they needed to make. They got a running back named Rico Suave. That's what I'm calling him. Not Dowdle. Rico Suave.
I'm not saying the brother can't play.
I'm just talking about his name, Rico. I'm just having fun with it. That's all. Rico Suave. That's going to be his name.
RC,
Rico
Suave what, coming out of the backfield. Stephen
and then
A
you drafted
right.
an offensive tackle. Why'd you draft an offensive tackle? Because you want to protect the quarterback.
This is what
you see what
like.
They doing?
Well,
you see
one,
what
they
needed
a tackle. This is what Stephen A. is to the Dallas Cowboy fans, R.C. And you know this, both of y'all can relate.
I'm Santa Claus.
The Cowboy fans will go in them comments, and they will see 100,000 positive comments. And then Stephen A. show up, and they make their whole year about that one negative comment that he made about the team.
That's exactly
who he is to them. They cannot handle it. I talk to him all the time. I try to talk sense into him. Don't let him get you there. But he the problem. He that one negative comment that make you forget about all of the 10,000 positive ones, and you gonna comment to the negative one. That's how
you
he got him, man. I'm trying to help him.
They don't say thank you to the other thousands of comments. They don't say I appreciate you. They don't say thank you for the support. No, they look all the way down. And the one that Stephen A. say is the one that they hang on to forever. And they keep showing up and making this a record-setting show just to see it, just to have their feelings hurt.
But you know what?
That's what I love about this year. Right. They're not going to do that this year, Stephen A.
Yes, they are. For the record, we were number one without the Cowboys. Before, we're going to be number one without them again. But here's the deal, y'all. They can't. You can go ahead and tell them on national TV. You're telling them. We save the tape. Save the tape, produce. Save it for them. they can't, Cowboy fans can't help it. That's the part that y'all have reached. You know they think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, right? You know that, right?
No, they don't.
They're going to win the Super Bowl.
No, they don't.
Trust me.
Not this
trust
year.
Me. They're going to be there.
Stephen,
they're going to be that way.
They didn't do anything this offseason.
Watch. How much you want? Molly?
You see what Philly did?
Molly, you're always bragging about winning bets.
Y'all,
I promise you'll lose this bet.
If they win four games in a row.
Give it a few weeks.
Stephen A.
Oh, we're going to be all right. We're going to win Super Bowl this year.
We're going to win Super Bowl this year. I don't brag about winning bets. The record's the record.
I'm just telling you. I just want them to stop.
Cowboy fans, give me a year. Just give me a year so I can recalibrate.
No, I've
been getting beat to death on this show for 4 years. Give me one year to recalibrate.
I feel you, Marcus. Marcus, do a nice reset after.
Marcus, you know what I'm going to last point, Molly? You know what I'm doing with Swaggoo?
What?
I've made a decision.
What up?
I'm going to show up in Texas for a Cowboys game with y'all this year. You and everybody let it go. I'm showing up to a game. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to show up at the tailgate party.
Hey,
I'm going to show up.
You better bring Juvie with him.
Of course, that's automatic. That's automatic.
Bring the keys to the Rover truck.
I'm going to have two Juvies.
Okay, let's go.
I'm going to have two of them.
We got to leave it there. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. The NFL schedule drops this week, and you can be there to catch all the action live and in person with Vivid Seats. Experience every touchdown, every tackle, every eye-popping play of your favorite team. And to kick it off, Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Thanks so much for listening to the pod. Gentlemen, we've got a series. The Sixers winning one at home behind a valiant 50-point performance from a hobbled Joel Embiid. The Sixers still trail the Knicks 2-1 in the series. Despite the loss, we saw Jalen Brunson look more like himself, dropping 39 points with 13 assists. Jay Will, here's my question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you higher on Philly or New York?
I'm higher on Philly.
And all I'm saying, look. The game is one of the details. The Knicks are better at the details. I'll give you that. But we got to acknowledge something. Because what's been the ongoing narrative about Joel Embiid for the last several years? The best ability is availability.
Yep.
Right? And we always want the best player to show up when the moment means something.
Right.
So for a guy that feels like they should be going back to Philly 2-0, even though we know the reality that Josh Hart and company, they played well, even though Brunson played well in game 3. For Joel Embiid to have Bell palsy, first off, which he got diagnosed after the game.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Right? And then to play on one leg, we're watching him play through some stuff now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for him to give you 50 in a must-win scenario, we talk about the Lakers. Imagine if we saw AD give the Nuggets 50. Like, that's 50 in a must-win. And they play with that energy. It feels like if the 76ers could wake up, that they have a legitimate chance to win this series.
I will say this. I'm at the game last night. And
went down to Philly,
I was there. I was there.
You going to every
game? I was there. I try. And I was like, I saw Joel Embiid hit like 3 in a row. I said, oh, damn. This is ridiculous right here. This dude, Joel Embiid, is one of the greatest big men to have ever played the game of basketball. And if he were healthy, Molly, we would be talking about, there would be religious conversations. Is this not the greatest big man we have ever seen in the history of basketball? Even with Jokic, even with Shaq, even with Wilt, Kareem, the arsenal that this brother has available to him, it's a crying shame that this dude is not healthy, because he can do what he wants on one leg against the Knicks. He can do what he wants to do. But I still believe in these Knicks. I think the Knicks are going to win game 4. I thought they were going to lose last night. I think they're going to win game 4, and I think they're going to come back to the Garden, and they're going to close them out in game 5. And by the way, it ain't a real home court advantage in Philly.
Oh, no, I heard last night.
I love Philly.
Really?
Second home to me. Oh my Lord, Knicks fans were everywhere.
It was louder than
Knicks fans were everywhere.
Yeah.
Knicks fans were everywhere.
Crazy.
Yeah. So I'm just saying the hostility, the home court advantage that you usually have at your disposal, I'm here to tell you that is not the case. In Philadelphia, Knicks fans were there in droves. All right, I know what Maxey can do. I know what Embiid can do. I'm going to give Cameron Payne some love and credit, because he made some big shots last night. Give him a lot of love, a lot of credit. But in the end, the Knicks were still right there. Knicks were still right there. And I'm telling you right now, they're going to be even better in game 4. Knicks win game 4, they close this out in game 5. That's what I believe.
Now, I know it's not the way Knicks fans would want to win it, but can we be honest, last night, I thought that deserved a flagrant 2.
No question. No,
you can't pull on a dude's knee while he's about to jump and swipe at it.
Initially, I didn't agree. Initially, I didn't agree. But then I went and watched the replay. Here's what I was thinking initially. When he got hurt during the season in Bede in Golden State, I remember somebody falling on his knee. Mm-hmm. So I was anticipating that was what I was going to see.
Protecting himself.
But then I saw him literally grab Mitchell Robinson's leg the way that he did. That was a flagrant 2. That called for an automatic ejection. But even as a Knicks fan, I love Joel Embiid as well. I didn't want to see them win because they'd have won the game if Joel Embiid didn't play. If he had gotten ejected, they'd have won the game. I didn't want that either.
It was a dirty play.
But it was a dirty 1,000%. Play. And he's not a dirty player. I don't recall seeing Joel Embiid doing something dirty before in his career.
Yeah.
That was a dirty play last night.
Yeah. What'd you think of Brunson?
Moment? Well, he was great. He was there. He was damn good, no doubt about it. But
did you feel better?
I felt better because
after the first 2 games.
After the first 2 games, he was struggling a bit too much. Last night, he was a bit more effective. I want to see him and Dante DiVincenzo doing it together. That's going to be needed to offset what Joel Embiid is going to throw at you. Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson, they both had 2 fouls in the first quarter, first 8 minutes.
Jay, who's the second best team in the East?
I mean, are we talking about Giannis being healthy? Or are we not? Are we talking about the situation? You saying
situation?
The situation?
Yeah, because then we'd have Jimmy Butler. Yeah, the situation. Current
situation. I'll probably say that. Probably the Knicks.
Yeah.
I would say the Knicks.
Right. But I will say this. We both reserve
the margin for error.
We both reserve the right to change our minds if Boston goes to Miami for game 3 and even without Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier, and Miami beats Boston. Because let me tell you something. Tyler Hero playing the way that he played the other day, 24 points, 14 assists.
You think Miami could beat Boston?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. But what I'm saying is, what if they do? Miami has exceeded expectations at least twice in the last 4 years going to the finals. We didn't expect that.
That's the only thing that worries you about Boston. Sometimes they just play so sloppy,
And Porzingis, you take Caleb Martin, you put him in Porzingis, and you dare Porzingis to do something, and he responds with a 1-for-9 shooting performance.
They're all shots. They're all jumpers.
I know we have to go, but the thing with Boston, we talked about that last year too, so it's not a coaching thing.
I disagree with you.
Underwhelming.
It was a coaching thing last year. Mazzulla was there last year, too. I believe, and I've said this. You wasn't here when I said this. I believe Listen, Mazzulla's a damn good coach.
But Stephen A., even before they didn't get the job done.
No.
When it wasn't
Ime Udoka's first year in Boston 2 years ago, they went to the finals. His first year as a coach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But how many times have they been knocking at the door is my point.
No, they've been knocking at the door. Well, Brad Stevens had several conference challenges. I get that part. What I'm saying to you is when Ime Udoka got there year one, he did what Brad Stevens couldn't do in 7 years, which was get him to the finals. Then obviously he gets axed from the job. Mazzulla takes over. They go down 0-3 before they win three straight, losing that game seven primarily because Jason Tatum got hurt. I'm saying to you, I believe if Ime Udoka was the coach of the Boston Celtics, they're in the finals at the very least last year.
Different. I agree with you.
And they might have been the title right now. That's what you attribute to, not the players.
No, it's just not all that. First off, 17 of the 20-plus threes they made were just poor defensive assignments.
Right.
Where they didn't execute. Like, that's a little bit of the problem.
Right.
Like them just taking their foot off the gas. That's the thing you're always concerned about. That
and they get in a one-on-one ball, and it never seems. It's very rare that you see Tatum and Brown excelling together at the same time. And usually it's one. Okay, it's your turn. They don't feed off of each other the way most great tandems do.
All right,
it's your turn. All right, it's your turn. Others get lost in the shuffle. And by the way, Jrue Holiday, who I love, you got a new extension, $135 million over 4 years. How the hell are you averaging 7 points?
Got to hit the top of the hour.
Right. I need more from Jrue Holiday.
So maybe the gap isn't so huge between Boston and everybody else with how they're playing.
Maybe not.